want to thank you for your mercy tonight. Father, we want to thank you that we have access to the throne by the blood of Jesus. Father, we are asking for that propitiation, that blood to come even now, God, and flood this room, Father. Father, touch us in the hearing of our ears. Touch us in the seeing of our eyes, Lord God. Father, touch us in our hearts, Lord, that we might be able to see and perceive, hear and understand, and Lord, we might be able to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. So, Father, we are just thanking you this night for your mercy, for your provision, and for the food that you have for us. We just pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are very grateful that we are able to gather here this evening. We are definitely multicultural at the moment anyway. But we are very grateful for this opportunity. I think it was said earlier, the truth is, I don't know how much more opportunity we will have for these venues. Things are changing very, very fast. I know in my own country, things that you would have never thought of 10 years ago,
or
certainly never thought about it 20 years ago, are everyday reality.
Yeah.
In the aspect that the Antichrist and the absolute hatred for the standard of righteousness and the things that pertain to God that is rising up in almost every aspect of society. It used to be something that was on the fringes and in those arenas where you would expect to find it. But it is now in every aspect of society. And it is very much like a flood. Hallelujah. And it at the same time, though, we are admonished and we are instructed by God that there is a higher place.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. The word speaks about Noah, in that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that grace, you know, it's very important to understand what the grace of God is. It's not the license to do whatever you want because he's going to forgive you at the end of the day. That has nothing to do with it. That's a wrong doctrine. That's another gospel, if you will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The grace of God is something that works in conjunction with the calling and the election that's upon each of our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as long as we are working within the context and the confines of that calling and that election, then the grace of God is extended to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You step outside of the perimeters of your calling and your election, and Paul put it this way, I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Mm.
In other words, we can frustrate the grace of God, and oftentimes the retribution or the consequences that is invoked is because we have stepped outside of the perimeter where we ought to be. Hallelujah. But, you know, we are coming to a time where we don't want to be partly in and partly out.
Yes.
We want to be in all the way. Hallelujah. So when Noah did is he simply obeyed God.
Amen.
And God gave him instruction. God gave him a blueprint. And he just simply followed the plan and did what he was supposed to do. Hallelujah. Now, in the end, you know, when it came to the appointed time, God called him into the ark. And I don't know if you ever noticed, but God, after he entered into the ark, God shut the door.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Noah didn't shut it, God shut it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I have to believe, based on what the ark was built for, in terms of to be in that water like it was, and subject to the conditions, the environmental conditions that were happening outside, when God shut the ark, I have to believe that it was seamless. There wasn't a seam that you could see as to define that is where the door was. Hallelujah. Because when God shut it, he shut it with that finality, you understand. But he also shut it so that water couldn't penetrate and get into it, because the door would have been something of a weakness on the side of the ark, you understand. Hallelujah. So there's something about the finality of God in that when we are in the right place at the right time, hallelujah, there's a very big exclamation point put on the end of it. Hallelujah. And so it's that exclamation point that we want. Amen. And we certainly want to be on the right side of the door as opposed to the wrong side. Hallelujah. When the water was coming and the floods were rising and the rain was coming down, there was a whole lot of believers on the outside. Hallelujah. Because now the evidence of what was being preached to them was now being made manifest to them. Hallelujah. But the good news is that many of them perished with the words of Noah in their mind. Hallelujah. So when Jesus Christ came and preached to the spirits in prison, those that were there remembered the words of Noah and they gladly received Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you see the infinite wisdom of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God and the fact that God is a saving God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in order to be saved, we need to meet the criteria.
Yes.
You need to be within the context, you understand. And we find here that this picture of the tabernacle defines for us what the criteria is, what the plan of God is. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that I'll just start with. I don't know that I will stay with it. That's been coming to me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Hallelujah. You know, this isn't a brand new thought as far as it being penned here and recorded in the book of Ephesians. This is simply the same thought that God had back there in the beginning in Genesis. Hallelujah. Because when God said, "Let us make man," there were two objectives that he wanted to accomplish in the aspect of making man. Hallelujah. See, the idea or the thought of Christ was already existent with God. Hallelujah. And so when he said, "He let us make man," he said, "Let us make man after our..." It's a question. "After our image," right? "And after our likeness." Hallelujah. Now this is the overarching thought from the beginning. Hallelujah. And this is a thought that runs through the whole Bible all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Because that God would have man not only in the image of God, but also in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at one another, we see the image of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is three parts: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I find out that I also am three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. And so we have the image of God, but we lack the likeness of God. And this has been the battle from day one.
Yes.
Man coming into the likeness of God. Hallelujah. And through the history of the human race, through the Bible, the history of the Bible, the whole story as it's been played out in the lives of the different ones we read about in the Bible, it has been about coming into the likeness of God. Hallelujah. And we find ourselves now on the very threshold, on the very edge of this dispensation of the fullness of time. Hallelujah. I'm meditating on this scripture and I'm thinking about it. And it occurred to me, if God wants to gather together both those which are in heaven with those that are on the earth, He has to have a means by which to gather them. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you think about in the old times, when they wanted to assemble the children of Israel, how would they do it? Text message? Email?
Facebook.
The means of communication or mass communication was by the sound of the trumpet.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we find out that the trumpet also means a message or messages. Amen. In Revelation, it talks about the seven trumpets to the seven churches. Hallelujah. So seven messages to the seven churches. Hallelujah. So it would seem to me that in order to gather those that are in heaven with those that are on the earth, God is going to use the same way that He has done in the past. He's going to bring a message. Hallelujah. Or He's going to begin to blow a trumpet. Hallelujah. Or trumpets, plural, in order to assemble that which is in heaven with that which is on the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that means those that are in heaven, in order to assemble with those that are on earth, are going to begin to descend. And those that are on the earth to assemble with those in heaven must begin to ascend. Hallelujah. So that we come together in the air, as the Lord, as the scripture says. Now, not the air as in the air and the atmosphere you out, see out here, but the air as it refers to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Or man walking in the fullness of the nature of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I said trumpet. I don't know if you caught that. Hallelujah. But if you go over into Numbers chapter 10, we get a little bit of an insight here. In chapter 10, in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying..." So we know where the instruction has come from, right? verse 2, "Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly for the journeying of the camps."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Two trumpets of silver. Verse 3, "And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Hallelujah. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee." Hallelujah. So there's a blowing of two and there's a blowing of one. Now, in order, there had to have been some way to discern the difference between the blowing of two and the blowing of one. Now, I don't know if it was an octave apart or if one started then another followed to give that rescending sound. Nevertheless, the thing is that there was the two trumpet sound in the aspect when it was blown, then the whole of the assembly knew that they needed to come to assemble themselves before the door of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Now, it's not happenstance. It's not mistake. It's not because it was convenient that the trumpets were made out of silver. It wasn't that there was a shortage of gold or they had an abundance of silver, you understand. God is very specific in the aspect of what He does, how it should be done, and the way it should be done. Hallelujah. So silver is the material or the metal of redemption.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. So the message would be herald would be that of redemption.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now there's two trumpets, right? Two trumpets of silver of one piece. Now I like this. One piece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It had no extra parts. It had no multiple parts. It was all one continuous piece. Hallelujah. It's just like God. In that whatever He does, whatever He makes, it is one continuous piece. It's flawless. It's seamless. It is done in such a way that it can only testify that it was done by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have two trumpets. So it speaks of the of both the Spirit and the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the message that would be released in this hour would be the fullness of the message that gives us the capacity to walk in the Spirit and in the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have the sound, the two trumpet sound that would begin to blow in this hour with regards to bringing together all those in heaven and the earth into Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is the crux of the matter. If we have the capacity to hear the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it's a maybe a little bit different sound than that which we have been accustomed to hearing. You understand? Hallelujah. We hear the sound of salvation as it pertains to the outer court. Hallelujah. And we are very thankful for it. And that sound continues to blow into the ears of those that need to hear it and that want to hear it. Hallelujah. But, you know, there's something interesting. When you turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 12, you have a very unique picture starting in verse 1. Where it talks about the there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Hallelujah. And we know the heaven that it is talking about is not the heaven as in the sky out here when you look out there at night and you see the stars. But it's talking about the spiritual realm where the church is at. Hallelujah. And the realm which the church should be contending for with regards to Satan, who has been the prince and the power of that air. Hallelujah. So verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Hallelujah. It's a very, very unique picture in that it gives us three distinctions of separation. Hallelujah. As far as the people of God is concerned, as far as God is looking at it. Hallelujah. Because you have the outer court, which is equivalent to the moon. Hallelujah. You have the holy place, which is equivalent to the woman. And then you have the Holy of Holies, which is equivalent to the man-child. Hallelujah. But you have three distinction of separations with regards to the plan of God and the purpose of God. The whole idea of God in the very beginning was to make man or bring man into the fullness of who God is. And of course, the fullness of God is found here in the Holy of Holies. So the whole purpose of the tabernacle was to benefit the believer in growth and maturity as the believer would pursue for the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. But you know, it's by free will choice. So technically we can opt out at any given point, or we can camp out at any given point. Hallelujah. And the way is littered with many that have and are camping out in these various segments. You have the outer court, you have the holy place. Hallelujah. As we are going for the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. The moon, you understand, we see the moon. We can see the moon at night, not because it has it has light within itself. We see the moon because it's reflecting the sunlight. You understand? So the moon has no light within itself.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if we find ourselves in a position or a place of the outer court, it's not a very good place to be, would it?
No.
Hallelujah. Not in a position or a place where you have no light within yourself.
No.
Hallelujah. Or your substance or your source is from another position, another entity. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is not something that you want to be found in. Consequently, the outer court is open. It has no covering. As it does in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. This is the process of decision along the way. There's a very good word that's available from Schuyler conference of last year that Brother Mark shared, and it's something that I have been meditating on, something I have been playing over and over again, and just chewing on the reality of what is being said, and it's not the man that is saying it. It's God saying it, because the man is just a messenger.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the whole situation is that we are coming we're coming to a place of decision, coming to a place of finality of decision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that you have the opportunity to participate in the Holy of Holies if you so desire, if you so will. Hallelujah. So the moon isn't a position or a place that we want to be found in, the outer court, as it were. The Bible speaks of the fact that the outer court is something that is being trampled under, something that is being given over to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And I would have to say that it is pretty much obliterated.
Oh, yes.
In a spiritual sense.
Oh, yes.
I can remember Brother DeSeale speaking about the things that were going on in the church in his day.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking 40, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, going on in his day. So can you imagine now, 50 years later, the digression and the disintegration of anything that should be God is only just a cover. It's only just words. It's only just an image. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Wherein now there is such degradation and such hypocrisy and such a trampling under that all of it is being destroyed. Hallelujah. But you know what? We find out that it isn't isolated to the outer court. Hallelujah. The destruction of the church, the aspect of the devil coming against the church, it's not isolated to here, but it is very much has come into the holy place. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the abomination of desolation standing up in the holy place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Luke or Mark, it speaks of standing where it ought not to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, this is all part of the plan. This is all part of the situation. Hallelujah. Because as God increases and makes available to those that want to be the sons of God, He also must allow the devil to do what he thinks he can do with regards to bringing the fullness of himself forward. Hallelujah. Now, the devil can't do what he can do, what he wants to do until he has something to rebel against. You understand? Hallelujah. So the situation in the holy place is a rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. It's Thessalonians, I believe. It speaks about the till there come a falling away. Hallelujah. And the word, the proper word is apostasia,
yes,
which is the word for rebellion.
Right.
Hallelujah. So it's a rebellion in the holy place, you understand. So it's something that's pertinent to you and I.
That's right.
Because you and I have been a holy place people.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, it's one thing to have a rebellion out here in this position under this understanding of the outer court. Hallelujah. But it's a whole nother thing when that position of rebellion moves in here under the context of the sonship message. Hallelujah. That rebellion takes on a whole new image and a whole nother level of deception. Hallelujah. That you and I have not yet encountered, or I should say that we are now encountering. Hallelujah. And the thing is, it takes a heart dedicated to God and holy to God in order to be able to discern between that which is unclean and that which is clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the truth of the matter is we find ourselves here in this holy place and in this position of separation, you understand. Hallelujah. Now, the woman here in Revelation 12 is indicative of the church, right? Hallelujah. But it's indicative of the church that has the capacity to hear a particular word. Hallelujah. Because it's a word that creates the expectancy within the woman. Hallelujah. It was Mary, when Mary heard the word, hallelujah, Mary believed the word, right? Gabriel was just the messenger that brought the word of God to Mary. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Hallelujah. She made a decision. She made a choice. She heard something and it touched her heart. Hallelujah. And in spite of the reproach, hallelujah, that was going to come because of being found with child outside of the context of marriage, hallelujah. She chose to believe the word of God, and when she heard the word and received the word brought forth within her the reality of the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, but see, there's a situation that God wants to correct. In the aspect, the Bible talks about the woman as being the weaker vessel. Hallelujah. And as long as the woman remains in that position of as defined as woman, she is always going to have that position as being the weaker vessel. Hallelujah. Now, God has made a provision in the natural, in the aspect of providing a husband for the woman that provides the proper covering, or should provide the proper covering to cover the weakness of the woman.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But with regards to the spiritual, you understand, as the church is defined as being the woman, the ability to receive life, right? Hallelujah. And God is the covering for the church as long as the church remains within the context under that covering.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But there's something that God wants to do. He wants to go beyond the fact that the woman and man and woman are separate. Hallelujah. He wants to fix the aspect of the woman being the weaker vessel. Hallelujah. And the way he's going to fix it is to bring forth from the woman a man child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this is the situation that we find ourselves in. Whether or not we want to be of those that want to come forth as the man child. Hallelujah. 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 And so we find ourselves in a somewhat of a precarious situation. Hallelujah. Precarious because we could, if our heart isn't in the right place, then we will make the wrong decision. We will make the wrong choice, you understand. Hallelujah. And we will find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. Hallelujah. Because in the aspect of the abomination rising up here in the holy place, it was such a revelation to me as I was pondering this situation and realizing that right before my own eyes the abomination is rising up. Hallelujah. And having some of a direct experience with it, I begin to understand that it's not any big thing that gives the abomination the liberty to be where it's at. All it takes is one little thing in your life.
Yes.
That you are holding back from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be anything big and significant, you understand. It can be anything. Hallelujah. If we're not in an attitude of pursuing this position of the altar of incense, hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
where the totality of who you are is to be laid down into service unto God. And if there's anything within our lives, I mean, it could be job, it could be kids, it could be just the convenience of house and home or whatever it may be. If there's anything that we're holding in reserve with God, there is where deception begins to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And therein is the position where we will find ourselves beginning to go the wrong direction, beginning to hear the different word, you understand. Hallelujah. And find ourselves little by little. And let me tell you, the nature of deception here in the holy place, as far as the abomination is concerned, it changes you. Hallelujah. It changes. I've seen people change in a very short period of time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about people that there was a level of breaking bread together. There was a level of capacity of working together. There was a unity in the spirit together. Hallelujah. But something happened, something along the way, some decision, some little thing got in the midst of there, and they begin to change. Hallelujah. And the nature began to change. And it wasn't something surfacey, you understand. It was something that was working deep down inside, and once in a while, given the right set of circumstances, the right situation, that which was inside began to manifest. Hallelujah. And it began to work more and more to where you all you can say is, God, have mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the situation, it is not something that you want to play around with. It's not something you want to poo-hoo or consider it lightly, you understand. Hallelujah. Because it is an all-consuming destructive force. Hallelujah. to accomplish the thing that that's in its mind, it's in its objective. Hallelujah. Because here, you remember Satan, he said, I will be like the Most High.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. Hallelujah. And on the sides of the north. Hallelujah. And you know, this is the position, this is the place where he is rising up. This is where he's setting up shop, you understand. Hallelujah. But you know, the good news in all of this is that there's a place to run to.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little bit, and it's this golden altar of incense that should be our objective, right? It represents the offering up of your soul, the offering up of your life, right? Hallelujah. To be consumed for the purpose of God. Hallelujah. This past year, we're in 13, right? So 12. God visited me in a very, very special way back in May, I believe it was, of last year, and he spoke to me to go to Ethiopia in such an experience that it was impossible to deny it. It was very, very plain. Hallelujah. And so in the aspect of going there, hallelujah, I cannot describe to you specifically when or where or how or what happened, but I just know that in the midst of being where I need to be when he told me to be there, God began to do something with respect to my heart, to my life, hallelujah, with respect to him.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And I feel as though I am one that is being inducted, if that's the right word, into his service. Hallelujah. And there was something that we begin to touch with regards to being there, hallelujah, that was like touching the heart of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I can tell you, if you touch the heart of God, something in return is going to touch you.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And you cannot help but walk away something a little bit different.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's almost addictive. Hallelujah. Because no sooner are you back to your where you came from, and you begin to feel the pull, you understand, to need, and the need to go back again and to do it again. Hallelujah. 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 So consequently, February was my third trip back into Ethiopia. Hallelujah. And it was a tremendous time. Now, I can tell you in John chapter 4, this scripture was coming to me there while we were in Ethiopia. And it's really divine appointments, you understand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we go, we don't know what is exactly going to play out and exactly where we're going to need to, going to have to be. I mean, you have an attentive schedule, you have certain things on the table. But the reality is God is the one who has his hand in the business.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Very much like you found out in trying to get into Malawi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I heard that, I knew it was God. And we were thanking God for his intervention in that manner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in John chapter 4, it's the story of Jesus at the well and the woman, right? Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, God had an appointment with the woman.
Yes.
Jesus didn't have an appointment with the woman. God had an appointment with the woman. But it was Jesus that God spoke to go talk to the woman. Hallelujah. 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 And the Bible says, and Jesus, it speaks very plainly. It says, I must needs go through Samaria.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So that means somewhere in his communication with the Father gave him instructions to go to Samaria. Hallelujah. Do you know that this is the hour and the time which we are coming into? Hallelujah. Where God is looking for vessels that can get up in the middle of the night, like was it Silas, the man that God spoke to go pray for Saul.
Ananias.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Lord, don't you know? Don't you know this man? He persecutes your people. Hallelujah. Is it Ananias? I appreciate, despite what he was thinking in his head, hallelujah, he was listening to his heart. Hallelujah. And he obeyed God. And you see, out of his obedience to God, we got Paul out of Saul. Hallelujah. 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 And yet, this is the hour. This is the thing that God is bringing us into. Hallelujah. Have divine appointments for us, you understand. Now, it's not the glory isn't in the aspect of having been in a certain place at a certain time, you understand, to touch a certain person. The glory is in the aspect is that when you're in the midst of that transaction, there is something that God is doing to both parties.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Because Jesus, it says he wearied, he was tired in the naturalness of his own frame, his own body. I don't know how long they walked, how far they walked, but the truth of the matter is the Bible says he was tired. Hallelujah. And so he sat at the well. Hallelujah. Now the Bible also says that the disciples had gone into the town to look for what? Meat. Hallelujah. You know, I love this story. Hallelujah. Because here is Jesus following the instruction of his Father, being in the right place where he needs to be, hallelujah, to facilitate this appointment that God has with this woman. And here's the disciples off over here, concerned about the aspect of the naturalness of their circumstance.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I give them a little bit of credit, okay? Hallelujah. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there was a certain aspect of responsibility. Traveling all day. Hallelujah. Tired, hungry. Then they needed to replenish themselves and their party in order to keep doing what they were doing. Hallelujah. I'll give them a little bit of credit in that respect. Hallelujah. However, the aspect of God coming in such a divine way, it supersedes the natural.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that by the time the disciples got back, Jesus, they're saying, Lord, Lord, eat, eat. What did he say?
I have meat.
I have meat that you know not of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this was a situation in Ethiopia, you understand. We would go into a meeting. Hallelujah. And we had no particular plans, who was going to speak, what was the game plan, what was the thought, what was the word. We just were going to a meeting. Hallelujah. Because this is where we needed to be at that particular time. And as one would begin to move under the unction and the anointing, hallelujah, and begin to break the bread, the word of God, it was passed around the room for those that we were meeting with. And as they would finish, another one would get up and pick up the same bread, but break it. There was something of a little bit different aspect, something of a little bit different substance of the word that was being ministered. Hallelujah. But the marvelous thing about it is that when at that given moment, both those that were being ministered to and those that were ministering were one and the same.
Oh yeah.
Because of the quality of the food that was feeding us all, was feeding each on their own level. Hallelujah. And the reality of it was, is when we walked away, or at least when I walked away, I knew I just touched much meat that I was not aware of.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the aspect of touching it and eating it, hallelujah, it left you with that mark upon you that you knew you needed to go back to get more of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it really is bringing home to me a certain reality about life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where I can see where I have been like the disciples, you understand. Over here and over here, concerned about this, concerned about that, you understand. On the natural level, on the, you know, it's amazing. After the transaction with the woman at the well, they're pressing him for him to eat. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They didn't even discern what had happened between Christ and the woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times has that been our position? How many times has that been our situation? Hallelujah. 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 But you know, there's something that God is doing, hallelujah, in this hour. And it's for those that touched His heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's not that going to Ethiopia becomes the new Mecca, if you will. It just happens to be that was my experience. That was the place, you understand. For each and every one of you, it may be a different position, a different place, a different situation. But the bottom line is, if you endeavor to touch the heart of God,
yes,
hallelujah, when in whatever situation it is, God in return will begin to touch you.
That's it.
Hallelujah. And it will become meat that we do not know of. Hallelujah. Because, you know, we've been in an interesting situation, my family and I. Last year we sold our home and became houseless. And it's been an interesting ride. With many ups and downs in the midst of it all. But, you know, God has been so good. He's been so faithful to us. And little by little, changing our perspective as we look at our situation, you understand. You know, God really began to put it upon our hearts to make ourselves more available to Him. Right? Hallelujah. And he took us literally with regards to putting our house up for sale. Because in less than a week of it being on the market, it was gone.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, we were jumping and rejoicing in the prospect of how fast things were moving, you understand. But then since then, it's been this transitional period. Hallelujah. But you know what? God is so good to us. And, you know, I was talking to my wife, or she was talking to me, and we're having this conversation about as we're looking at our overall situation, and she said something to me, and it just, you know, the light bulb goes off, right? And I took the thought, and I took it a little bit further. Hallelujah. I discovered that home is not where your house is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Home is where God is. Hallelujah. Home is doing the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can't explain. It's a strange phenomena. But when you're in the midst of where you need to be doing what you need to be doing, nothing else matters. Hallelujah. Everything else becomes insignificant or much smaller. Let me put it that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we find ourselves in this place of our perspective being changed. Hallelujah. And the aspect of that there's a calling and there's an election upon my life, upon the life of my family, you understand, as a unit. Hallelujah. And there's a purpose to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know where it's going to be end up at. I don't know what the total outcome is going to be. Hallelujah. But I just know that when I have these divine appointments as created by God, hallelujah, there is something that is deposited within my soul, hallelujah, that I didn't have before going into that situation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, so like Jesus, as he was long suffering with the disciples and laboring with them, I have meat that you know not of. Hallelujah. My meat is what? To do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. And consequently, in that moment of transaction with that woman, there was something that ministered to him, that he had no more need even to consume of the natural meat. You understand? Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but how would you like to be able to tap into that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
You understand? Hallelujah. Tap into that source of life, that source of energy. And there's something about it. It's not tapping into it for the sake of the glory or the thrill of the moment. You understand? There's something about it when you touch the heart of God. Nothing else matters.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And this is what we find that in this hour, that God wants to open up His heart to you and I.
Amen.
With regards to the world around us. You understand?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it's we have been in a time of training, a time of conditioning, and it's not that that time is expired or it's over, it's finished, but there is something that has been deposited within us. You understand? Where it is now time to run, as it were, with the horses. Hallelujah. 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 And it's in the aspect of running with the horses. Hallelujah. Because I can tell you something, that when we are out there in those places, the fields are so ripe with harvest. Hallelujah. I mean, just a tremendous experience. That last meeting, I think at Salem Children's Village. Maybe it was impromptu, wasn't it? I don't think it was really scheduled, wasn't really planned. Hallelujah. Go into this meeting and you're talking 8 to 12 young people, 16, 15 to 22 or thereabouts, and just hungry. My goodness. I've never seen anything like it. Hallelujah. And, you know, there's something about hungry people.
Jesus.
They pull the word out of you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, and as it always is, there's never enough time.
That's right, sir.
Hallelujah. You just get started. You just get warmed up. Hallelujah. And the flow is really starting to go. Hallelujah. And you're out of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's something there. Hungry people. My goodness. If I could just put it in a bottle and bring it back to you and let you drink something of it. Maybe it would turn your life upside down with respect to the will of the Father and the desire of God to anoint the people into below them, as it were, into the field that the harvest is at. You understand?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's to this position, it's to this place that we are being called to, you understand? Hallelujah. To run with the fullness of the word. Hallelujah. I think there was a dream recently that was talking about three mail carts, something of that nature.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it's talking about the fullness of the word. Hallelujah. Coming. God giving us the capacity to run with it.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I've given you what I have tonight. So praise the Lord.
Glory to God.